Now we're going to shift gears to gentleness. If you look in Galatians 5, or if you see in the bulletin on our verses to meditate on that have not changed all year, and we joke in some Bible classes, like we've been joking in Don's class about how long it might take to get through a certain number of verses. We started at the beginning of the year, and as of today, it was August 18th, we are now on our second verse of the fruits of the Spirit. So, just shy of 9 months for that first verse, and now we'll wrap it up with these last two fruits of the Spirit. So, gentleness may not be one of the first things you'd think of for something that would be in one of these lists, one of these virtue lists that we find in the Bible. I kind of had my eye looking forward on this one because I knew it would be a little different for this first Sunday of talking about it, where we lay out the groundwork of what's there. Because unlike some of the first ones that we looked at, where we said, love, there's so many things you can get into with love. There's so much in the Bible about love. We're going to just try to narrow it down in some ways. Same thing with joy and peace and faith. We even split faith into two different ideas of faith and faithfulness, and gave it a bonus Sunday. And some of these ideas are just so big because there's so much in the Bible. Gentleness isn't really that way. If you do a search for just gentleness, you don't get too many hits. Even if you open that up to gentle and gently, you're still in a pretty small cluster of verses. But I think we've seen, when we looked at some of these fruits of the Spirit, that even if the word's not there, the idea certainly is. And when we look at what the Bible has to say about the ways that we interact with one another, the ways that we are supposed to treat one another, we see the ideas of gentleness. I want you to think about what images come to mind when you think of gentleness or being gentle. Maybe you think of, and one that comes to mind to me, you have a brand new baby, slightly older sibling, and you're about to hand him over. And what do you say to that slightly older sibling? Be gentle. Baby's little. You need to be gentle, right? Gentle touch. Well, maybe also with kids. I think about my kids when they were real little going over to Grandma and Papa's when the Christmas tree is up. There's a certain way they have to act around the Christmas tree. Gently. How many fingers are allowed to touch ornaments with? One finger touch on the ornaments. Because we don't want them to fall off. We don't want them to break. And maybe these are some of the ideas you think of with gentleness or gently. Maybe you think of a fragile stamp on a package. I don't know what images come to mind. But I was thinking this week, if you have your bulletin here, I've got five pictures. We have a grizzly bear, a Rottweiler, goldfish, elephant, and mouse. Now, some of you may... And the preacher guy with the tennis shoes on. But that's not one of the images. Now, we might not all have the same images of gentleness in our heads, and we may not all answer these in the same way, but I put these down because of a way that I was thinking this week. I said, which of these images are most likely to be described as gentle? And if we talk about what gentleness is you might look at that little mouse. Well, so the mouse can't do much damage. The mouse, you're not going to worry about knocking down your Christmas tree. You might think of the goldfish. The goldfish is not going to harm the baby. The goldfish will not break the package. But I'm trying to think, and maybe I'm missing something, but I can't think of ever hearing of a mouse or a goldfish being described as gentle. I've heard of a grizzly bear described as gentle. There's a show and book series, right? Gentle Ben. Yeah. I've heard of Rottweilers being described as gentle. Oh, don't worry. He's gentle. He's safe. Even the elephant, you see it gently lumbering across the savannah. I don't know, you could tell me if you've heard different descriptions like this. But when I think about how something is described as gentle, and we're going to see, I think, the same thing when we look in the Scripture, when gentleness is being discussed. Even though the temptation is to think of gentle as weak, that's not the way the descriptions end up coming out. To me, when I think of the things that are described as gentle, is we don't even bother talking about gentleness or being gentle or acting gently unless the thing we are talking about has the ability to do harm. We don't talk about, wow, that bear is gentle, unless we recognize that bear does not have to be gentle. Same thing with the dog or the elephant. We recognize these things have the power to do great harm. And so when we see one being gentle, we recognize that. And maybe a non-animal example. I know we have a few people in the certain medical fields. What is the first part of Hippocratic Oath? If you're not in those fields, you probably know. What is first? Do no harm. This is a line that I'm going to steal from a movie of doctors talking about this. I'm going to trust that they know what they're talking about, which the scriptwriter does. It says, when we say first do no harm, it says, that implies a great power to do harm. You don't put that statement in there if you're not able to do the harm. When we talk about gentleness, we're not going to talk about weakness. We're not going to talk about inability to do things. I don't think that as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the ways that we take, and remember the whole idea of looking at the fruit of the Spirit is last year we studied through the Bible and we found out what's there and we found out what the Bible has to say, and then we turn the corner to how we can live that out, how we can take that and show that to our community, how we can show that to our neighbors and to each other and show that we understand what the Bible has to say so that we can live spiritually. And I don't think we are all well served spiritually to think of ourselves as weak and ineffective. I don't think that's what it's talking about with gentleness. If you have your Bibles, Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. Like I said, there's not a lot of times that gentle or gently or gentleness shows up in the Bible. But I want to look at one here in 1 Kings 19. So I guess this idea across of not weak, but gentle. So this comes right after Elijah and his challenge on Mount Carmel. 450 prophets of Baal and Asherah. Fire called down from the heavens, if you might remember this. And then Elijah flees and tries to hear the word of the Lord. First Kings 19, verse 11. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Something that not many have been able to experience. In fact, in Tuesday morning class, we were just talking about what would it look like and sound like to have God speaking to you, have God present and to see God, and our conclusion was, I don't know. But Elijah is told, the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Mighty winds and earthquakes and fire. We've seen God described in these ways. While it says that God was not in those, we know God is certainly capable of mighty winds and earthquakes and fire. But when God was appearing to Elijah, when God was going to speak and show himself to his servant here, he didn't show up in mighty winds and earthquakes and fires. A gentle whisper. See, when we talk about gentleness, we're also going to talk about a related idea. In fact, in some translations, even is translated, where we see gentleness is also translated this other word. We're going to talk about gentleness and meekness. And meekness is another word that sometimes gets mistaken for weakness. I mean, it rhymes, right? And maybe you do think of the mouse when you think of meekness. But I'm going to suggest that as we look through this, that that's not the best image for meekness. But in the same way that you don't describe something as gentle unless you know that it has the ability to not be gentle, meekness works the same way. Meekness, maybe a better definition, is power under control. For one to be meek, they have to have power, but also know how to control it. When we see God in 1 Kings 19, we know very clearly that there is great power. We know that this idea of tearing mountains apart and shattering rocks and shaking the earth and bringing a great fire, even if it said God wasn't in that, we know God has that power. God also knows that if he's going to be able to speak to us, he's going to be able to talk to his people without having them run to the hills. As you remember in Deuteronomy, God spoke to the people and they were afraid and said, can you just talk to Moses now and have him talk to us? And we've seen when God shows that power, we can't always handle that. God, who has all of the power, meekly, gently, whispers. We're going to look at this idea of meekness and gentleness. We're going to see a king who arrives parading gently on a donkey. We're going to see those who are in position to wield great authority and do great damage and show off their power act gently and care for those around them. We're going to see Paul talking to the churches and saying, if there is someone caught up in sin in your congregation, approach them gently. We're going to see that while the idea of being gentle and being meek is all over the place in the Bible, even if the word's not there, that does not mean that we are powerless. It does not mean we are ineffective. What I hope that we get from this study of gentleness is an appreciation of two things. That we are powerful. That we have been granted and given power from our Lord in many ways. We have the power to affect others interpersonally. We have the power of the Spirit. We have great power within us. We are not weak as Christians. At the same time, as we are appreciating and empowered by that aspect, I want us also to appreciate the ways that we can be effective, gently, meekly. That we are not the goldfish in the bowl, but we are also not trying to tear others down either. And so, a little homework this week. I want you to take some time to think about the ways that God has made you powerful. We're going to talk about the ways that God has made his people and given his people to be powerful. Because if you can't recognize what you are capable of, you can't begin to control it. If you can't be able to see yourself as something that is very strong and effective, then it doesn't really matter how we talk about being able to control it. So that's where we're going to close today. We serve a gentle God. And that should not sound like an insult. That's a blessing. Because our God is very powerful and yet knows how to deal with us gently and gives us power. So, I look forward to next week. We're going to talk about some of that power. So we're going to talk about some of the ways that God's people have used that power for good and gently. If there's anything you need this morning, the invitation is always there. I know I keep saying it every week, but it is there. If there's anything you need, prayers, if you need baptism, if you need just a hug, this is the time that we'd be happy to do that for you. Please come forward. Have you stand and sing.
Have thine affection, bear the